Today's daf in Masechet Shviyos Yerushalmi, brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh, is daf Ayin Dalid, and we're holding at Tani. So the last thing that we learned is that, according to Rabbi Yochanan, it's clear that even though there are lots of different areas, if they are all surrounded by other areas, and they're not large enough to be defined as a separate topographical area, so the entire Beit Choron country, so to speak, is all considered to be one, despite its varied topography. Now, the question is, what about Syria? Now, we didn't discuss Syria yet. And remember that Syria is the area that David HaMelech captured, that was before he had captured the rest of Eretz Yisrael, and it was considered to be a Kivush Yochid. Question is, there's different elements that made it a Kivush Yochid. It didn't get there for the full Kiddush of Eretz Yisrael. And the Shaila is, what would be the din of it Legabe Shviyas? Because usually we talk about only the areas that were captured again in Rima Kodesh by the Aliyah from Bavel. But it's interesting that in Syria there was a specific Zera that you are chayev in Kedusha Shviyas, midrabana. The reason for that takana, bepashtas, was, as we spoke about earlier, we don't want people moving out of Eretz Yisrael proper to move to Syria, which was very attractive if there was no din of Shviyas. So then you don't have this problem of losing everything every 7 years. So that would mean that people would not support the Yishuv of Eretz Yisrael, and because of that, even if you move to Syria, you still have to keep the dinim of Biur and Soda. So now, the question is, what about Shalosh Aratzot? Are there Shalosh Aratzot in Syria? Because, I mean, there definitely are mountain areas, valley areas, the flatland. So what's the din over there? So in the Braita, it says, there's no such thing. There's no Shalosh Aratzot in Syria. If anywhere in Syria there is something that's still left, then it's considered to be local to L'chaya min Asada. Now, what's the reason that that's true? It's not because of the Beit Choron idea, according to most. The idea over here is that since the entire purpose of the Gezerah in Syria is simply that there shouldn't be people settling in Syria, so we're not going to be that makpid to go start looking around at specifically, you know, is it this area, this topography, that topography? Because of that, we simply weren't makpid on it. That's the point. Okay. Itachami, says the Gemara, I want to speak about Rabbi Shimon. Again, remember, in the Yerushalmi, we don't have the insertions of the two dots, you know, this is what it says in the Mishnah. So we're going directly to, obviously, to discuss Rabbi Shimon. So Rabbi Shimon said, the din of Shalosh Aratzot, forget about Syria, the din of Shalosh Aratzot wasn't even true of the Galil. It wasn't true of Eivre HaYarden. The only place where there were Shalosh Aratzot was, according to Rabbi Shimon, only Yehuda. Masha Enkein, all other parts of Eretz Yisrael, they go according to Har HaMelech. So Itachami, there's something very, very strange about this shita. I mean, it means that according to Rabbi Shimon, let's say you live in the Jordan Valley, okay? So you're in the Emek Shebiyuda. So you cannot eat things that are available still in the Har, because you have to go according to your local. And we pointed out that this is very strongly, the other Rishonim will learn that the only identification of the areas are Benogea, just to let us know that it doesn't matter, is absolutely insupportable by the whole Yerushalmi over there. The whole point of this Yerushalmi is that there are 9 different areas that Rabbi Shimon is saying that that's not true. There's only the 3 different areas in Yehuda. So, okay, keep that in mind. But in any event, the Gemara is pointing out that there's something that is, it just doesn't make sense. It just doesn't add up. Because Lemaisa, we said that this is all based on what? Range. Animal ranging for food, right? So in other words, think about this. According to Rabbi Shimon, you live in the Jordan Valley, and you're not allowed to eat any more of a certain food, which is freely available just a few miles away in the mountainous area around Yerushalayim, right? Okay, so you have to go only according to your local produce. But if you live in Tveria, then you're allowed to eat because it's available in the Haramelech and Yehuda. I mean, this makes sense? This makes sense? What are you saying? That an animal is not going to go the few miles from the Emek HaYarden up to Har HaMelech, you know? It's not going to travel those miles, and therefore it's not available to the Chaya and the Sada. But the animal who lives in Tveria, you know, well, over there, these are like far-ranging animals, and they will go to the Har HaMelech. You don't think that's a little bit nutty? So, I mean, there's certainly no really fundamental understanding in Rabbi Shimon that's going to be different that has to do with the pasuk of animal ranges. So I'd like to hear a good explanation for that. Anyway, again, the derech of the Yerushalmi is not to answer things, and we just leave that hanging. But it does point out the anomalous relationship of Rabbi Shimon to the entire concept of how seriously are you taking the idea of an animal's range to be basing the Sholosh Aratzos on that. It's making the point that according to Rabbi Shimon, it definitely is not the real underlying meaning of the pasuk. Let's move on to the next piece of the Mishnah. So what did it say? Kol Aratzot ke'achat l'zeitim v'litmarim, and that there's no particular area, and that this is something that is constantly available, as long as it's zeitim or tamarim, and those are things that are well known, they're very valuable, they're extremely nutritious, heavy, and therefore they're going to be eaten wherever they are. And a braita pointed out the last things you would have thought, that's true for charuvim. You know, to us, the charuvim are like the last thing that you would range far from field to go get yourself some more charuvim for Tu B'Shvat just to throw out after Tu B'Shvat. Okay, there's obviously something that we non-vegans are missing about the charuvim. But I guess if you go into the store and always buy charuvim bars instead of chocolate bars, then you would know how kedai it is to go far-ranging. And we've got our special pirish from Rev Barnea about charuvim and in antiquity. Yes, Rev Barnea, please talk to us.
Here's the Biancusa, Hill Academy in Pittsburgh, and Tu B'Shvat.
That's not, not that old, but that's part of archaeology. Come on, Barnea.
It was a little brown bag, and all types of hard things in it, hard nuts, and this piece of carob that you broke your teeth with. And we were always taught, these are the peros of Eretz Yisroel. I think I was 40, and I was in Beit Guvin, Marisha, and I picked a carob off a tree, and it was eating honey. It was soft. They said, this is what it is. That's what they gave us. This is what they were talking about.
Amazing, right? Beautiful. Okay, so this is true even of charuvim. Tani. Now, actually, we end up, because of that, having the times really synchronized. So, ochlanot ala tmarim. So that would mean you can eat dates until the dates are gone out of Yericho, and that's called Yericho Ir HaTemarim. And Zeitim, well, Tovel B'Shemet Raglo. So if Gavi can't find any olives when he's walking around up there, Sheyichlu Mimeron Umigush Chalav, then that's an indication that the time of Biur has arrived. Which brings us to Halacha Gimel, and we could begin with a Zakta Halakha Mishnah, where we do not have either of our Zakta Halakha Mishnah men. So Zakta Halakha Mishnah, Ochlin Al Hamufkar. Now the question is, there's always going, thank you, that would be very delicious, except that you refuse to invest in the latest Zoom. So you're not going to tantalize me. So
these are from Yericho. We get them here in the Old City from Yericho.
Yes. I was actually thinking of asking you to put in an order for me, because I keep seeing her notices that they've arrived, and I'm always feeling, wow, what a shame. However, they are extremely useful for increasing belly size. I must warn you, those things are rich.
Right. So instead of the Magil, if you get the mix of others, this one's less sugary, this one has more iron, we like getting the mixed one.
Yeah. That's going to help a lot. Okay. So the question is like this. Lots of people have trees in their backyard. Okay. Now they do not invite the bears and the lions into the backyard. So they're very bad boys and they keep their backyard fenced because they don't want the bears in the backyard. This is a serious concern for poor Gabby, who's got bears in the backyard, but he's not here now. All right. So the question is that considered to be available for the lions and bears? Oh my. Or is it not available? And therefore you can't include the beaver time for the things that are in people's backyards. In other words, even if these species are growing, but they've been finished up out in the wild, can you count that for beaver? That's our problem. So, ochlin al hamufkar, avolo al hashamur. So, in other words, if there's a field that was kept as a backyard, so then you cannot include that as available to the chaya, because it's not available for the chaya, and therefore you can't use it to determine the time of biur. Whereas Rabbi Yossi says, no, you can even eat af al hashamur. As long as in nature it grows, you can continue to eat, even though the chaya can't actually get to it. What would be the reason? So in other words, when it says, lebehemtachav lechaya asher basadeh, is the point really the way we've understood it, that it has to mamish be available for the chaya, and then you can have it? Or is the point merely the way that the other Rishonim learned that we spoke about at the introduction to the Masechet, we're talking about all of the inyanim of Shviyas, is the main idea, don't act like you own the world. And don't bring these things into your house as if they are really yours. Okay, so then it means don't be noe kiderech habotzrim, kiderech hakotzrim. Don't take it all. Okay, so even though I have stuff that is shamur and so on, I didn't take it all. Therefore, there would be no chiyuv biur. That would be Rabbi Yossi's shita. Mashein kein tana kama holds. No, this is a different issue. This is not about how it is that you act in terms of your bialas. It is specifically whether it's truly available. And indeed, we don't paskin like Rabbi Yossi. So, ochlim al hatvichim. However, we can eat from things that, now there's a big machlokas how to learn this. Most learn that the tvichim are the little holes in the wall that are provided for birds to make little bird nests, and they often have things growing in them. And the birds can get at them. No other animals can get at them because they're up there out of reach. So the question is, if they're available for birds, is that considered to be ochlim kozman, the chayot and the sadeh, include the birds? So if the birds can get at it, then you're allowed to keep it. That's the way most learn. The Rambam learns that the idea of tefichim, the word tefiach, is used for very hard and really inedible kind of thing that's left behind, like grains or hardened legumes and so on. So those are things that will last forever out there because they're not real. Those are like wild growths. And that, nonetheless, is telling us that even though those are there, they are very, very not the normal kind of thing. You're allowed to eat from the standard min that is not hard in your house. So that's the way the Rambam understands tefiach. The dufra is a Greek word that we're using the Greek of du. Dufra is du pri. meaning it's a tree that produces twice in the same year. And so therefore, in the spring and then at the end of the summer, so you can eat the whole time, even though there's none of the spring growth, but there's the summer growth. But you can't rely on the fall growth, stav. Sitvaniyot are the fall growths of grapes. And they are usually, remember, we call the poor quality grapes sitvaniyot because they're not really royal achila. And the Rambam says the reason is, this he says in the Yad, the reason is because they're more similar to the growth of the coming year. And therefore, they're not of this year. So you can't be semech on that. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda is matir, even on the sitvaniyot, and with one condition, that kozman shebikru ad shelo yichle hakayetz. If they at least started to grow before there was nothing left of the earlier grapes, so then they look like a continuation of the same crop, and then you can even eat on the sitvaniyot. This was the shita then of Rabbi Yehuda. Matznisa. Now, you should know that this idea of the shomur is not considered to be a way that you could be semichon for biur. It's got to be literally available. That's going a little bit of Rabbi Shimon. Because Rabbi Shimon, he learns that the mocker of the whole din of biur is min hasadeh tochlu et vuata. What does it mean? You should eat it out of the field. Certainly doesn't mean that you're not allowed to take anything as we saw. So therefore, it's telling us that kozman sha'tochel min hasadeh tochel min habayit. As long as things are still available out there in the field, you can eat from your home. Now you can see, gentlemen, how this relates to Rabbi Shimon's, what we introduced before this Mishnah, that Rabbi Shimon does not take seriously the idea of the Chaya's range. But that's because his mocker is not from that pasuk of Achlu Chayat HaSadeh. It's the other pasuk of you eat. This is written the Gabi Yovel, but it's the same halacha, Yovel and Shvias. You eat from the Sadeh. Okay, so then that would be the point. When it's no longer available in the Sadeh, so then Kale Min Abayit. All right, so therefore, when we're saying this, it's telling me that if we have something that it's in a Sadeh, that it's mamish in the open. That's the point. That's being the open. If you got a fence around it, it's not in the open. Ma time in the Rabbi Shimon. Atu garam tashla shaloluha. Look, you in natural terms, what happened over here? Nothing changed in terms of nature. If things would have been left to nature, is something that would have been very different. You went ahead and you made it something that was not allowed to have a natural process. If the natural process would have occurred, then what would have been? There wouldn't have been any fences. There wouldn't have been any people chasing away the lions and the bears. Basically, everything would have been gone. So then everything is gone. That's the point that Rabbi Shimon is making. And even though you've got stuff that you're protecting, you're still going to be chayev and biur. So our Mishnah basically reflects that shita. Okay, then we said, what about if it's in the tefichin? So then that's good enough. That is going to leave the Rabbi Yossi. Because in the Braita it says, ein ochlin al tefachim shebe'ako. So in Akko, apparently, this is not according to the Rambam's approach, but in Akko, there was a tremendous amount of these bird things, the tefichin that they would make for birds. And because of that, there was a long time after things were no longer in the Sadeh, they were available in these small areas that the birds could get to. So in the Brit, it says that a libet tanakama, you cannot be semich on that. Whereas Rabbi Yossi says, ochlin al tala tefachim sheba akko. So we are going over here, according to the shita of Rabbi Yossi. All right, now, what about the Dufara? So the Dufara said that the Tanakhama held that the Dufara is considered to be good enough. Remember, Dufara is dual pre. You've got a tree that it flowers and it gets new fruit twice a year, once in the beginning of the spring and once during the summer. So there we said, the Tanakhama seemed to talk about Dufra. Then we said, but you can't rely on Sitavniyot. And Rabbi Yehuda added that you can rely on the Sitavniyot as long as they had started to grow during the time that the other grapes were still available, right? So Rabbi Yossi points out this, not to be confused with Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah, obviously, that we just said that here we're talking about Rabbi Yossi and Amora. Havin and Savrin Meimar, so I don't know, we used to think when we were learning Shviyas that the only machlokas here, it should say Rabbi Yehuda. The only machlokas here between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan was Nogea, that's the simple meaning of the Mishnah, the Sitavniyot. And Rabbi Yehuda was saying, even the Sitavniyot, it's considered to be the same as the Dupri, right? That's what it sounds like. And there, that's their only machlokas. But as far as the Dufrin are concerned, they weren't arguing. He's made it to the Tanakhama. But then we found a Braisa. And it turns out the Rebbe was arguing about the Dufri. So he was actually being machber on the Dufri more than the Tanakhama, makel on the Sitavniyot more than the Tanakhama. And in both cases, he said, if you're going to rely on a second stage growth, it has to be, whether you're talking about the grapes that are Sitavniyot and grow all the way in the fall, or you're talking about trees that produce twice a year, the second crop is only considered to be ma'akiv the biur time if there are still peros from the first crop that were around when the second crop was mevakir. So that means that Rabbi Yehuda holds one shita, both benogea Sitavniyot and benogea the Dupri, and because of that, it turns out that in one case he's Machmir, and in one case he's Mekel. When it comes to the Dupri, he's actually being Machmir. Okay, Rabbosai, to be continued Bezrat Hashem tomorrow. Meanwhile, my thanks to all of you for being part of this exciting Limud and living with Shvius, about to be ours truly. Bezrat Hashem. More Ador good news. Where we continue to have other good news. It was wonderful good news this past few days about at last doing some really chokhmadika tricks, trapping all these guys in Shifa. Beautiful, beautiful good news, fitting for Adar, and it should be a continued v'nahafachu, turning all of those supposed sick people in hospitals into dead people as mechablim. Talk to everyone. Have a wonderful day of Yeshua's.